Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, and then chapter 16, verse 33. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Our second scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In your bulletin today is a cheat sheet. Actually, I hope this might be helpful. Some of you made comments about the message last week. This is an outline. This is my outline. And if you go through it, I left off the important words. So you're going to have to follow me and know what the words are. They'll be on the screen so you can write them down if you don't catch them in what I say. But I hope this might be something that would help you take the message and then live the message this next week and experience just a little more of the peace of God. I was talking with Brad earlier this week. Brad likes to hike, and he was telling me about hiking in the Adirondacks, an experience that he had there, and it was rather a frightening kind of experience. He was walking along the edge of a pretty steep cliff. It was about 300 feet down, but Brad's a strong, sure-footed kind of guy. But he stepped on a rock that was loose, and he slipped, and he fell down. And fortunately, he didn't fall all the way to the bottom, or he wouldn't be here today. But just below the edge of that, about five feet down, there was a tree growing out of the side of that cliff. And Brad grabbed that tree, that little limb, as he went by and was hanging onto it for dear life. And Brad was, foolishly by himself, and there was nobody around. So Brad is hanging down there, and he's crawling out, "Help! Help! Is anybody up there?" He doesn't hear anything. "Is anybody up there?" And he hears this voice, "Let go of the branch." And Brad looks around and says, "Who's that?" "This is God." "Oh, God. Oh, thank you. I really need some help. Please, help me get out of here." "Let go of the branch." "Are you kidding me?" "Let go of the branch. I will catch you." Long pause. Then Brad says, "Is there anybody else up there?" Well, fortunately, somebody must have come along, because here he is today. Where are we here? That's not what I thought it was. Okay. How do we cope with stress? How do we, have peace in our lives? I think that it's basically about trust. We are people that learn how to, we need to know how to, when we trust someone, we trust something, we have peace. And last week I began this message and I talked about two kinds of peace. From John 14, 27, where Jesus says, "No, I'm going to leave you peace. You're going to either have the peace that God gives or are you going to have the peace that the world gives? The peace that the world gives comes as we try to control and manage our situation and use our resources maybe more wisely, call on some help from some other people. But it's basically an attempt to eliminate as much trouble as we can and have as much peace as we can kind of make for ourselves. That's the peace of the world. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of us need to do that more. Okay? Sometimes I think we cop out and say, God, give me peace, when God says, well, why don't you do something about the problems in your life that you can do? So there's peace of the world, and then there's the peace that Jesus gives. In this passage, he says, I give you my peace. I give it to you in a different way. It's the same kind of feeling, contentment, well-being, but it comes in a different way. It comes not by control, but by surrender. As we surrender our lives to God and trust God to be in control, then we begin to have the peace that Jesus was talking about. Jesus is our example of that kind of peace. Think about Jesus and his life, what he did, where he went. Jesus, I think, had the peace of God wherever he was. You know, we saw it as he was confronted with that wild demoniac that no one could control. Jesus wasn't afraid or nervous about that. He was in the midst of the storm with the disciples, sailors themselves by trade, but he wasn't overwhelmed by the storm. He was at peace with that. He was confronted by the religious authorities time and time again, but he wasn't anxious or worried about that. He was at peace there too. I think probably the best example that we have of Jesus and peace is in the garden. The night that he shared the Last Supper with his disciples, the night that he was betrayed and arrested, I think Jesus had peace that night as well. As the soldiers came, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't anxious. He went through awful abuse and the mockery of a trial, but he didn't respond out of anger, frustration. He was at peace. He wasn't withdrawn. He was in total control, very aware of what was happening, but he was at peace. And folks, I think that's the peace Jesus has to give to us. He wants to give us that peace, but he gives it in a way different than in the world. Last week, I talked about 5 trust-building truths. We talked about 2 of those. And my hope is that these might be tools that you can use so that you might experience a little bit more of this peace that God has. God doesn't want us to live in fear. God doesn't want us to be overcome by anxiety or the troubles of the world. Doesn't mean we're not going to be concerned. It doesn't mean that we're maybe confused or not uncertain about something, but we're not overwhelmed by it. We're not consumed by it. We can sleep at night. So 5 trust-building truths. And I hope as you hear these, that you know all 5 of them. There's nothing new here. But I hope that you might see them in a little different way. They might help you tap the peace of God. The first one we talked about last week, I am with you, John 14, 25, and 26. And he's not talking about giving us an energy pill or a new battery. He's talking about giving us a new person, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus dwelling within, that we would have a deeper, richer experience of the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit not only doesn't dwell just externally from us, but is present within us. God says, I'm with you. Secondly, God says, I'm in control. John 16, 33. Talked about how Jesus laughs at the troubles of the world. He said, you're going to have those troubles. Don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. I've triumphed over the troubles, over sickness, over pain, over suffering, and even over death. I can certainly triumph over yours as well. I'm in control. I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm in control. That's the second truth. Today, we're going to look at three more. Two of them are coming from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I'd like us to read this together. Walk down there. Here. Let's read this together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The third trust-building truth is, I understand. Notice what he says here. He says, it's the peace in the last, second to the last line, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. God understands life. Sometimes we think that if we understood why or how, that somehow we might be at peace. I'm afraid most of us have asked those questions a lot of times and probably not gotten very many answers. I don't think there are a lot of answers to some of the suffering, difficulty, injustice that we see in our world. I don't know that we can understand all that and all the whys. But what we need to do is to come to a point where we trust that Jesus or that God understands what's going on. And if God knows, that's the main thing. I want to know that God knows. If God knows and if God understands, then I don't have to worry about it. I can be at peace. God understands, he's got it under control. And if God wants to tell me why, he can tell me. But if he doesn't, that's okay. I think sometimes we don't have the capacity to understand the why reason. That if God were to speak to us, it would be like trying to explain nuclear physics to a four-year-old. They just don't have the capacity to understand it. And I think trying to understand the mind and the plan of God at points is like that to us. Even if God did tell us, we wouldn't understand it. But he understands it. So as we hear him say this to us, I understand, we can be people who can rest and experience the peace of God. The second thing in this passage is that last line, it says that peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God says, I'll protect you. The image here is that of a Roman soldier standing watch as his fellow soldiers are sleeping at night. And they can sleep because there's a sentry there standing guard, standing watch, so they don't have to worry about an enemy attacking or them being surprised at night. That guard is vigilant. And Paul talks about the peace of God as being like that for us, that it surrounds us. God is our fortress. We can pull away into God, and he will protect us from worry and anxiety and the troubles of the world. Not that we won't have them, but that we won't be overwhelmed overwhelmed by them. So God says, I will protect you. My peace will protect you. How does this happen? How does this happen? I mean, it's something we would all like to have. I take you back to the garden again with Jesus. What was the secret of his peace during that awful trial and crucifixion? Why did he have peace? I think it was because of what happened in the garden. You recall he took the disciples into the garden and he went there to pray. And he poured out his heart to his heavenly Father. He didn't want to do this. He was honest. He was overwhelmed. He was anxious and worried and fraught and didn't want to do it. Yet he prayed. And as a result of that, after the soldiers came, he was at peace. The disciples were upset and anxious, but he was at peace. Paul says, do not be anxious. That's the negative part. So if you're not being anxious, take your energy, take all of that energy that you would use in terms of anxiety and put it into this positive activity. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So don't be anxious. Pray to God. Now, many of us travel down this road. Many of us start to pray and have a concern, and maybe we grow tired of it. Maybe it doesn't seem like anything is happening. I want to encourage you to keep praying. I believe what Paul said, that peace will be the fruit of our prayer. If we can come to the point of surrendering whatever the issue is to God and let go of it and trust him with it, that we will have his peace. That's what happened with Jesus. How many times did Jesus pray in the garden? How many times? Tell me. How many times? It's not a trick question. Those of you, you know the Bible. How many times did he go away and pray with his disciples? How many? Okay, good guess. Not right. Three times. Three times. Jesus prayed. You know, he took the disciples, said, stay here with me, watch and pray. He goes away and he prays. He comes back. Are they praying? No, they're asleep, like a lot of us would be. He says, okay, hey, wake up, guys. It's important. Pray. Goes away, prays again, comes back, finds him asleep. Oh, I don't know if he gave up on him, but he didn't give up on him. But, you know, he leaves them and he prays a third time. It took Jesus three times to reach this point of peace. And sometimes we think, well, if I just say a brief prayer, I don't know why I'm not at peace. Sometimes this is work. Surrender is work. Coming to a point of letting something go and really trusting God is work. That it took Jesus three times. It'll probably take us more. But we have a choice. We can be worried and anxious if we want, or we can pray and know the peace of God. And that's our choice. And I know a lot of worried, anxious Christian people because they have chosen not to pray seriously about whatever concern or issue they have. And I want to pray with them. I want to encourage them to pray, and I encourage you to pray. Pray through until you have that peace. God has that for you. Prayer is the path to peace. This is the way it happens. I wish there was something else, but that seems to be what the Bible says and what Jesus encourages us to do. So let us be people of prayer. When I think about prayer as a pathway to peace, there's a couple things that come to mind about it. Number one, prayer is a part of a two-way relationship. This helps me when I pray. When I pray, to think of it as a two-way relationship. If I were to ask you, of the times that you pray, what percentage of the time are you speaking? You know, if it was me, I'd probably at least 90% of the time. You know, I feel like I got to be talking. Okay? We need to come to a point where we can be still and know that I am God. We need to be still and let God speak to us and listen and realize that this is a two-way conversation. And we're saying things, but we're not giving, hey, give God a chance. Shut up for a minute. Give God a chance to speak to you and reply to that which you're doing. Think about prayer as this two-way relationship. And take this sheet of paper with these five truths on it and use those. And I think about it this way, because prayer is more than just believing the truths. Prayer is living those truths. It's taking them with you out into your day-to-day life. So I'll give you an example. You're praying about a doctor's appointment. It's coming up that day. Okay? And you don't know what's going to happen. You're uncertain. You've had some tests. You're going to talk to the doctor about it. Okay? Okay? And you pray, Lord, you know, I lift this up to you. I give it to you. I want you to, you know, help me through this. And a lot of times you might pray for peace. Okay? Surrender is the key to peace. If we can surrender, if we can give up to God. And then what I would like you to do is think about one of these five things. Be quiet for a moment and see what God says to you. Does he say, I'm with you? Does he say, I'm in control? Does he say, I understand your anxiety and worry? Does he say, I'll protect you? What does he say to you? And, you know, I think if I was a doctor, I would give you a pill. I'll give you pills, and I want you to take them 4 times a day. And you don't understand why it is, but because I'm the doctor, you're going to do it with the hope that you're going to get better. Well, I am your spiritual doctor today. I'm saying 4 times a day you need to take this pill. 4 times a day you need to stop for a moment and listen to what God is saying to you. Okay? Which of these 5 things is he saying to you? And maybe if you have devotions in the morning as you get up, you might say, Lord, you know, what is it? What are you going to say to me for today? And pick one of those things. And then as you go through the day, pause for a moment and listen. Listen for God to say that particular truth to you. And as you do, what you're doing is you're living out those truths, and you're discovering, as you're aware of that, you will have more peace. God will give you that peace because you're exercising your faith. You're surrendering your issues to the Lord. Now, I know some of you, as you pray, need some encouragement to do that. I know sometimes you don't have time, or to be honest, when you've tried, your mind wanders, or it seems like you're just talking to the air. It's words going nowhere. You don't understand it. I want to encourage you. Give it a chance. Give it a chance and just pause for a moment and reflect on these five truths. Here's a verse that I use in my prayer often to set the tone. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, Lord, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. When we come to worship and as we listen to the prelude, do we wait expectantly to hear God speak to us? Or is it just kind of ho-hum? You know, you don't expect anything. You're probably not going to get anything. Come expectantly as you pray. God cares more about being with you than we care about being with God. He loves us far more than we will ever imagine. Come expectantly and see what he has for you. Now, some of you are going nuts because you think I skipped number 5. I haven't. I've saved it to the end because it's the most important one. It's the one I want you to go away with. And this truth is probably the foundation of all of the others. But it's the greatest source of peace as we hear God speak this to us. And it's this: I love you. I love you. And what greater verse than John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You can't love anybody more than that. I love you. We're going to have communion today. We're going to be reminded of the love of God. So reflect on the love of God. Listen and see if maybe that's what he's saying to you in the morning. I close with a story about a pastor that was on an airplane flight, long flight. He was coming home. And he knew that there was trouble when the fasten seatbelt sign came on. And the flight attendants took their seats. Then he heard the captain's voice come on the intercom and said, we're going to have to postpone the snack. Used to be a meal, now it's a snack. We're going to have to postpone the snack. It's too dangerous for the flight attendants to be up in the aisle. Would you please stay seated for the next period of time? The turbulence that we're going to encounter is rather rough. And then it began. And there was lightning flashes around the plane. There was thunder clapping. You could hear it over the roar of the engines. And the plane dipped up and down. Roller coaster sometimes. There were bumps and jiggles and shakes. And here's some of the responses of the people. You've been on one of those flights. You grab for the airsick bag. You know, you don't know what's happening. You're anxious. You're worried. You're gripping the seat. And the pastor, as he looked around, it looked like everybody was pretty concerned. Some of them were quietly praying. You could hear everybody gasp if the plane fell. And then he looked over to a seat next to him, and there was this child. I don't know, 7, 8 years old, and she was just fast asleep. It didn't seem like anything was bothering her. It certainly would have woken him up. Didn't seem to bother her. And occasionally she would wake up and turn over and go back to sleep again. And after they finally landed safely, he was going down the aisle. The girl was awake, sitting there quietly reading a book. And he stopped and commented about the terrible storm and the bumpy ride. And he smiled and said, "Hi, boy, weren't you afraid?" And the little girl looked up at him and she said, "My daddy's the pilot. He's taken me home." And she went back to reading. Friends, she knew that the love of her father was greater than any storm. That he was going to take her home. She didn't have anything to worry about. God is our heavenly pilot. He's in control. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be overwhelmed. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. And he loves you. And he's taking you home. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we do thank you for your love, and pray that you might grant us now your peace as we try to surrender again and again. Thank you that you love us, that you protect us, that you understand life, that you're in control, and that you never leave us. Amen. And let's sing that wonderful old hymn that speaks about these very truths. What a friend we have in Jesus.